Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs and MP3 files. You'll find Bible videos on various subjects, 30 minutes in length. You also find a host of other Bible aids and study aids that will help you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. We want nothing from you, just to show you need for God in your life. You have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. We have been studying the book of Hebrews. Last week, we studied Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 through 13, and talked about the quick and powerful Word of God. This morning, I would like to use our time in talking about the aim of God's Word. The Word is quick and powerful, but what is the aim? What is the aim that God had for His Word? Well, first of all, it was to give us direction. In Jeremiah 10, verse 23, the prophet Jeremiah said, "It is not in man who walketh to direct his own steps." In Psalms 119, which, by the way, is all about the power of the Word of God, but in Psalms 119, in verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It illuminates, it shows and points the way." We also see that it prevents us from sin. In Psalms 119 and verse 11, the scripture said, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." And so the Bible gives us direction. One of the things is the aim of God's word. It gives us direction. It gives us the information to prevent us from committing sin. It also corrects us. It corrects us in what's right and what's wrong. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse number 2, Timothy was told to preach the word, be in season and out of season, that he was to preach the word and be ready. In season and out of season, convict, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You see, the word of God is to be preached. It is to be preached to convince. It is to reprove. It is to rebuke. We also see in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it's God breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness' sake, that the man of God may be complete, perfect, thoroughly equipped to every good work. You see, the word of God, it corrects our behavior that is sinful. And it shows us what is righteous conduct. It also sanctifies us. It cleanses us. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 23. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 23. The scripture says in the 26th verse that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. It sanctifies, it cleanses us. Why? Because it washes away our sin. Now, it also provides salvation. Romans 1 verse 16 says that the word of God is God's power to salvation to all those that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The word of God is God's power to save. It's his dynamite that will, and the power that it will cause the sinner to believe. It also is a means of gaining spiritual maturity. A proper application and a diet of the Word of God can give us spiritual maturity. In First Peter 2, verse 2, it says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." We need to desire the Word that we might grow thereby. In Acts 20, verse 32, we're told that the Word of God is able to build us up and give us an inheritance. It is able to spiritually help us grow. And it also gives a weapon that we use to fight the enemies of truth. In Ephesians 6, verse 17, The Bible says that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. It is the only offensive weapon that we have to fight against sin is by the instruction contained in the Word of God. We are to fight the good fight of faith. We are to lay hold of eternal life. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. We're in a fight. We must understand that we're going to have to fight. We're going to have to stand our ground. We're going to have to be committed and dedicated to God. And we're going to have to follow His will and the path that He has laid out for us in His Word. The Bible gives us those paths. It gives us that instruction. It gives us the ability to have spiritual maturity, that we might grow, that we might be able to function in the world in such a way that we would be able to demonstrate what a Christian truly is. The things that will hinder. What will hinder the aim of God's Word? Well, one of the things that can aim and hinder God's Word is ungodly influence. In Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 10, not pilfering, not showing all, but showing good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present age. If we have an ungodly influence, if we have the wrong examples, if we follow the wrong patterns, it will lead us astray. It will lead us into the paths of sin, and that sin will separate us from God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. And so, the wrong kind of influence, when we surround ourselves with people who are ungodly, when we surround ourselves by people who do not respect God's Word, those who change it, amend it, alter it, those who do not believe in the simplicity and the power that's contained therein, those are hindrances that can help us by not doing the right thing. Silence. If we don't share it, if we don't share it with others, then we put their souls in danger and our own soul, according to Ezekiel 33. It helps us out with God. It does what we need it to do. It shows what we must do in order to please God. It gives us divine instruction. It is sharp, as we read last week. It pierces, as we read last week. It divides, as we read last week. And it discerns, it analyzes, it searches, and it judges by our acceptance or our unwillingness to not follow it. And so we have to make a determination, ladies and gentlemen. We have to determine whether or not we are going to follow God, or are we going to follow our own dictates? Are we going to follow the world, or are we going to follow God? The aim of God's Word is to give us spiritual direction, to give us spiritual guidance, to aim us and point us in the right direction in order that we might be the people that God would have us to be. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, the Bible says we are the salt and light of the earth, but we can't be if we don't know the Word of God. We are to be an example for good. We are to demonstrate what's right and proper, what's acceptable to God, and our conduct should show others that by the way that we live. And so again, it is incumbent upon us to understand that the purpose of God's Word is to make us more spiritually minded, to make us more dedicated, to make us more committed, to make us more focused on what we need to do in order to do the right thing. We can't do the right thing if we don't know what the right thing is. And it says, man did not know the mind of God and was unable to know it by his own wisdom. If God chose to reveal his will through the mind of God, through the Holy Spirit. We read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8 through 13. The Holy Spirit is the medium that God chose to reveal his word to sinful men, to give us the instruction, to give us the guideline, to show us the way that we should live, to show us the way that we should conduct ourselves. In Titus chapter 2, it says in verse 12 that we should live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present age. How do you do that? How do you live seriously? How do you live soberly? How do you live righteously? And how do you live godly? You're going to have to go to God's Word. God's Word will give you the information in how that is accomplished. But again, you've got to make the application. God left the Word for us. God left the instruction for us, but he's not going to make us do it. He's not going to make us grow. He's not going to make us mature. And we'll talk about this later on in chapter number 5. But we need to understand that we have responsibility in this area. The aim and purpose of God's word is to give direction, to give divine instruction, to show the way to God, to show the things that are acceptable, to show the things that will lead one into the path of righteousness. And a failure to commit yourself to the word of God, a failure to not study it, not rightly divide it, as we're told that we need to do in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, if we fail to do that, then we're going to not hit the aim or the purpose of God's word. We can't do this without putting our faith and focus upon God's word. It is why we are to meditate upon it. That's why we're to be ready to give an answer to all those who ask us for the hope that lies in us with meekness and fear. 1 John 3, verse 15. We've got to trust God. We have to believe God. And we have to obey God. And the aim of this quick and powerful word is to put us in a position where we can be effective as God's people. As we can be effective and be concerned enough to show others the way to the cross. To show others how they can make their life right with God. How they can get out of the bondage of sin. How they can be released from that bondage, can be free from it, and can have the hope of heaven when they die, to truly be at rest, as we discussed a couple weeks ago. But, ladies and gentlemen, all these are choices that God leaves in the hands of his creation. It is up to you and to me to afford people that opportunity by sharing the gospel with them, by showing them the way to the cross, by showing them the reason for the cross, by showing what was accomplished in the cross, by showing how God can help them have life and have it more abundantly. Hebrews chapter 2, as we studied earlier, he came to break the bondage of sin. He came to release us from those shackles of sin by giving us the blood of his son that would free us from all unrighteousness. But again, it does not matter if you don't apply it to your life. You've got to apply it to your life. You've got to believe it. You've got to accept it. But most of all, you must obey it. And if you don't obey it, then the word of God cannot benefit you. It cannot help you, and it cannot allow you to walk in the paths of righteousness. To walk in the paths of righteousness, you must walk in the teachings of Jesus Christ. If you're going to walk in the teachings of Christ, then you must come to the word of God. For that's where the teachings of Christ are contained. And so let us dedicate ourselves. Let's commit ourselves to understand that the aim and the purpose of the word of God was to save us, to put us in this covenant relationship, to bring us into a relationship with God that would begin here on earth and would last through all eternity. But it cannot accomplish its goal, and it cannot accomplish its design if we don't learn it, if we don't read it, if we don't believe it, or if we do not obey it. It is a decision. It is a choice, and it must be made, and it needs to be made sooner than later. What about you, listener? Are you a child of God? Do you have the faith in the gospel? And do you know that gospel that's able to save your soul? That's its aim. That's its purpose.